Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 1, Chapter 6, entitled Conversations Between Narada and Vyasadev, text number 37. Sutta Uvacha Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan Narada Vyasri Sutam Narada Vyasavi Sutam Narada Vyasavi Sutam Atmantra Vinam Ranayan Actually, we do this first word by word, correct? And then we... Okay. I was thinking we do line several times each line. So it's actually word by word first. So we'll start on the third line. Atmantra Vinam Ranayan Yayo Yadrichiko Muni Suto Vacha Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan Narada Vyasavi Sutam Atmantra Vinam Ranayan Yayo Yadrich Chikomuni Suto Vacha Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan Narada Vyasavi Sutam Atmantra Chra Vinam Ranayan Yayo Yadrich Chiko Muni Harani Sutta Uvacha Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan Ladies. Evam Sambhasya Bhagavan Dovyas Sutam Sutta Sutta Vacha. Excuse me. Sutta. Sutta Goswami. Uvacha said, evam, thus, sambhyasa, addressing, Bhagavan, transcendentally powerful, Narada, Narada Muni, Vyasavi, name Vasavi, Satyavati, Sutam, son, Atmantra, Amantra, inviting, thank you, Maharaj, Vinam, instrument, Ranayan, vibrating, Yayo, went, Yajrichika, wherever willing, Muni, the sage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narada Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. Purport. Every living being is anxious for full freedom because that is his transcendental nature. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. Illusioned by the external energy, everyone thinks that he is free, but actually he is bound up by the laws of nature. The conditioned soul cannot freely move from one place to another, even on this earth, and what to speak of one planet to another. But a full-fledged free soul like Narada, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glory, is free to move not only on earth, but also in any part of the universe, as well as in any part of the spiritual sky. We can just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason or obligation for his traveling, and no one can stop him from his free movement. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person, even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Similarly, the association of the devotees is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or when one may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to obtain complete freedom of life. Om Jnana Samadandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Srila Prabhupada in this purport several times is making the point about freedom. Every living entity is seeking freedom. Why? Because that is the transcendental nature of the spirit soul. Here, one is thinking, if they move about in this material world, wherever they want to go, that this is freedom. But this is not actual freedom because, as Srila Prabhupada says, they are actually bound up by the modes of material nature. We're on an airplane, and the announcement may be made after the plane takes off, you are now free to move about the cabin. So this is a sense of freedom. As Chaitanya Charanam Prabhu yesterday was also saying so nicely in Bhagavatam class, that when there's a release, a relief from the anxiety that this material world exhibits, that one feels freedom. When one gets intoxicated, they feel a sense of freedom. When one makes money and has a large amount of money, they feel a sense of freedom, freedom to do what they want. There's so many things that this material world presents, that it gives, to put one in illusion that there's freedom and that they are free. But again, it's all an illusion. I sometimes speak with those individuals who have no home, who are walking the streets endlessly with no direction. And I'll say, what happened to you? Why are you living like this? You weren't born like this. You probably had a good job at one time. You probably made money, had a nice home. And they all seem to have a very similar answer. I'm free. I get everything free. I'm free. I can go where I want. I can do what I want. Nobody tells me what to do. One man I spoke to, I said, Why are you in this situation? Why are you putting yourself in this situation? He says that he owed the government money, and now he's free. He doesn't have to pay them that money. Of course, he doesn't realize what he's experiencing now and the pain that he's experiencing now. Even the hog and stool thinks he's happy. But this man was thinking that he was free, and I said, oh, so you must be happy. He says, I'm very happy. He says, I don't have to pay this government back. $350,000 is what he told me he owed the government. So now he just wanders freely, he thinks freely. So he considers this to be freedom. Or if we're feeling some kind of pain, we're feeling our body is aching, or we have a headache, or there's bills to pay, or there's a problem with relationships, there's a problem with our car, there's a problem with hunger, anxiety. The material world is filled with anxiety. And these are all the basic 101 of the material world. We've heard this many, many times. But to relieve oneself from the pangs of the pain that the material world gives one, that's not real happiness. That is not real freedom. Because even if there is a sense of freedom where we have as much money as we want, our health is very good, we have so much energy, we have so much nice food to eat, a very nice car, we all know that we're all destined to lose it. And that's anxiety and that's fear there. So that's not really freedom. We lose it. But freedom is attained only through transcendental service to the Lord. Bhakti mama bijananti yavinyas chasmi tatvataha. By devotional service, then we can obtain real freedom because it's our natural constitutional position. So the more we engage in devotional service, the more that we are engaged in the 9 processes of devotional service, then we will experience that freedom. And through any one of those processes of devotional service, we can obtain perfection. Another thought that comes to mind about freedom is in our jail system. I can remember when I lived in Florida and I was driving limousine, someone hired a limousine from me and said he's surprising his son because now his son has the freedom that he has been looking for. And I said, oh, what is that freedom? He said he's been in prison for, I don't remember how many years it was. And when he walked out and the gate opened up and I was there with the limousine and the family was there, he walked out and he went, I'm free! Now I have my freedom! And then I thought that now only more trouble is going to, more bondage. Because even if he's free from the prison, now he's in another prison. He's really just going from one room to the next. And now he's going to be bound by the modes of material nature, the shackles of sinful activity. And that is, in the material world, freedom is to be able to pursue those activities, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. Whereas actually, those 4 activities, when we don't engage in those activities, then that is real freedom. I was thinking about our court system. I was in court yesterday for something that had taken place here at the temple, and I had to go to court. And I was seeing how people there are, they're trying to become free. They're trying to have that freedom. And that's why they're in the court. They're fighting for their freedom. It was a very unhappy scene. Very unhappy scene. It showed me what the material world looks like. The people are fighting for their freedom. And sometimes people didn't do what they are being accused of. But yet, they have to go to jail. They have to go to prison for it. Perhaps they got away with it before. In karma, you cannot argue. You cannot fight. You cannot escape your karma. However, when we engage 100% wholeheartedly in this wonderful process of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada has brought us and has shown us how to have freedom, it's only then when we become 100% engaged in devotional service are we really free. There's one person on the radio who teaches, gives tools and teaches people how to get out of debt. And so when people are in debt, there's a real sense of bondage because they're serving the bank, they're paying so much of their hard-earned money in the form of interest to the bank. So this individual, he has a process by which one can learn how to become debt-free. And when they're debt-free, people will travel miles. They'll travel across country to go and try to get on his radio show or be in the lobby. And then the microphone comes to them and they tell their story about how they were in debt by so many dollars. But now they're no longer in debt. So now they have the opportunity to feel that freedom. And the mantra that they sing, that they chant out loud, and the host always says, okay, so now let's do the countdown and give a big, I'm debt free. And they go, 3, 2, 1. Sometimes the whole family is there. Sometimes it's just the husband and wife. And they scream out, we're debt free. So they feel a sense of freedom. So yes, there is a sense of freedom. However, it's not the real freedom that we're all hankering for. Everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books on how to become free, how to have that freedom, how to have peace of mind, how to be happy in this material world. A nice verse that comes to mind is the peace formula. Bhoktaram yagna tapasam sarva loka maheshvaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richtati. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods. Remember, everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matat sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from Krishna. Everything comes from me, Krishna says. Everything emanates from me. Krishna continues to say, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entity attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. This is freedom. How do we get into, or how do we become a person in full consciousness of me? Me is capital M, that's Krishna. by devotional service. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the conditioned soul within the conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world. There's that word free. There's that freedom. They do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary, Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord because he is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Shaitashvatara Upanishad 6-7, the Supreme Lord is described as Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshvaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be the lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent laws of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the material world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and the living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. No one can attain perfect peace. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. So again, freedom is not that we can just go wherever we want, do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. Sometimes people will say that this Krishna consciousness is a lot of rules, is a lot of regulations. But no matter where, no matter what we do, we have to follow rules and regulations. At the business, driving in the street, there's traffic lights, we have to follow the rules of the road, the law of the land. If nothing else, even if we're free to just roam the street, we're controlled by the modes of material nature. So how wonderful this process of Krishna consciousness is, that we're following rules. We rise early in the morning. We focus in on our morning sadhana. If we have a job and we work late, as many of you on the internet may have, that's okay. But then you have your time for your sadhana. So maybe you have to chant it after work. Or maybe you chant some before work, during lunch, after work. I remember Archita Prabhu gave a class once. And in the class, he was giving a nice formula for being able to finish 16 rounds. Even if we're very busy. And he was saying how chant 4 rounds before work or in the morning before when you wake up. Maybe 4 rounds before work, 4 rounds at lunch, 4 rounds after work. 4 times 4 is 16. But if we have a job, or we're living far away from here, as some people do, they live 2 hours from here, and they tell me stories about their lives and how they study Srila Prabhupada's books. They're chanting 16 rounds a day. They're associating every day with us. How is that? They're here present. They're attending Mangal Aarti through the internet, or they have their own Mangal Aarti. So everyone who is doing this, they're very special people because they are seeking that freedom from material life, material bondage. And they're seeking love of Krishna. They're looking for the light. Krishna Surya Sama. What is that? Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. Godhead is light. Nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. In the morning, the house is dark. When we get up, we turn on the light. Suddenly, there's no more darkness. So Krishna is like likened unto this light. And he illuminates all the darkness. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada's books, this is illuminating the darkness. This takes away all the darkness. Yes, material life is a very dark, very dismal place. And so though there may be struggles, I was speaking with one devotee here who at one time was having some physical problems and was in a lot of pain. And I asked him, how was he? How was he feeling? He says, well, his body's in pain. It's getting better, but it's in a lot of pain. But he's very happy. And then he was telling me how ecstatic he was to be part of this Krishna consciousness movement. Because even though we're feeling pain, the pains of old age, we all have something that's plaguing us. But having this Hare Krishna mantra, having this beautiful deity worship, the wonderful association of all these Vaishnavas, and the association is free. Having Srila Prabhupada's philosophy here, the books, he was happy despite his body was giving him difficulty. And now, Naikatma Prabhu is doing what he's always done. So, today should be a day of focusing in on what we need to do to have full freedom. I'm going to be thinking about what do I need to do, Krishna consciously, what do I need to do to come a little bit closer to our transcendental nature, to what that transcendental nature of becoming a servant of Krishna. And this all goes through the transparent medium, of course, of the spiritual master and surrendering to the spiritual master. So this purport is really emphasizing freedom. So I hope you all have a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. I want to thank you all for attending the class here in New Dwarka and also on the internet. Thank you very much for listening. Does anybody have a question? We'll take a question or a comment. We have a few minutes. It's 8:15. Okay, we'll wait for the microphone. Okay. Jai Prabhu.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Prabhu.
Thank you very much.
You were talking about freedom. So that reminds me when I was in China, before coming to America, I was really feeling there everything was really tightly controlled by the government. You know, we cannot freely go and distribute books. We cannot freely go and preach. I was even, you know, put into the jail for 1 month because of, book distribution and preaching. And then, in order to escape that condition, I came to America, and I'm feeling, now I'm really free. I can do so many preaching activities here. But after hearing your class, I realized actually, still, we are not free here, because still people here has to suffer from old age, disease, and death. Actually, there's no freedom. So after hearing your class, I really realized actually real freedom means to be free from old age, disease, and death, to be free from the control of material modes of natures. Yeah. Thank you very much. Just some thoughts raising my mind after hearing your class. Thank you.
Thank you. And I was even thinking that, you know, here in America, I've had some conversations at times with people, and they said one of the things they like about America is the freedom.
Right.
And in the declaration, you know, freedom of speech.
Right.
But, you know, speech gets us in trouble too, you know, so... All righty. Sri Satchinandana Prabhu.
Thank you. So Prabhu's question kind of inspired me to ask. So we see the American tradition of freedom or personal freedom. It really comes from the Protestant idea of free will. Like the idea that, you know, you're a spark of God, therefore you're given a certain sense of dignity. And then because God gives you free will to kind of choose to surrender or not, therefore you're given all sorts of freedoms to move in the world and do as you like. So from what Prabhu's saying, we see there's a benefit to when governments sort of respect the freedom of individuals and allow them to move and to sort of make choices in their lives, etc. So on the other hand, you're saying there's no freedom in the material world. So does that affect our idea of how people should be governed? Like if there was a Vaishnav kingdom or a monarchy, would we not allow so much personal freedom?
Freedom really means to be serving Krishna. Freedom is, you know, freedom from the material world. Now, our constitutional position, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, is that we are serving Krishna. And that's our constitutional position. So we're rightly situated. So that's our real freedom. Now, I don't know if this answers your question. Someone else? Prabhu?
He said, may or may not have answered the question. I'm not sure, but the answer to his question is yes, we would restrict their freedom because it's illusory freedom. If there was a Krishna-conscious monarch or a Krishna-conscious government, we would restrict illusory freedom. People wouldn't be free to get intoxicated or have, illicit sex. There's so many things we wouldn't allow. And because it's illusory freedom, it's not real freedom.
Right, right.
They would be free to follow certain rules and regulations or, live a life that would be conducive to them becoming more pious and ultimately developing Krishna consciousness. We
yeah.
have to indulge them in the illusory freedom, which is just going to cause them further material bondage.
Right, just like here in the temple. We don't walk around and, getting intoxicated on, whatever intoxications there are. We're not eating, that food stuff, which is forbidden to be eaten. Et cetera, et cetera. We wouldn't be selling, lottery tickets here. So if there was such a place where, we have, and we do, we have them right here. We have our temples that Srila Prabhupada has set up. So people are not free to come and to, break the four regular principles in the temples. Savasprabhu.
I think we should also understand that if there was Rajarsi, a king of the land that was a Vaishnava, a devotee, still there would be the Chaturvaryam. There'd be the
Mayashri Saguna Karma Vibhagashaha.
Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishya Sudra. So, and there might be even lower than Sudra, but they would have their place to do their thing. Hmm. There could be even those that eat meat. Point being is that in those particular circumstances, everyone is trained according to their propensity, and that would be the principle of the kingdom. So there's always going to be that particular class of people that are going to be low mentality, low consciousness. But if they do the prescribed duty, they can eventually become elevated. So even if there's a Rajarshi, that would be going on. There would be some kind of different classes of men, and they would be acting according to their, constitution, who they are and what they are. And that would be how the kingdom would be executed and how it would go on. Because even in the time of Krishna, it says that one time when Krishna was coming into Dwarka, all walks of life were there. Even there were girls that were prostitutes, they would be there. And greeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to take on the principle of the Varnashram system, and that's how it would be governed. And that's what Srila Prabhupada was always saying when he would be giving us the principles of an ideal culture, an ideal society. There would be like a training. If you're born in a Brahmana family, you'd be trained as a Brahmana. If you were a Kshatriya, you'd be trained as a Kshatriya. And that principle even was in India maybe 100 years ago. If there was a son that was born in a family where his father was, let's say, even a Murtiwala who would be making the forms of the deity, he would train the son how to continue on with that particular service. Even 100 years ago, that was going on like that in India. So basically, I think that what we're seeing is that it would be more of a Vanashram kind of society.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Well said. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.